So good to see every one of you today. We are doing a two-part Father's Day. Last week, Father's Day was the first part. This is the second part of it. I do not have time to recap, so you just have to get the notes if there's something you don't quite understand to start or get. But we are asking the question, what is the greatest gift a father can give his child? Somebody tell me what it is.
Wisdom,
yes. Well, I thought it would be love. No, it's not love. I thought it would be bringing your child to salvation. No, that's not it. I thought it would be spending time with the child. No, that's not it either. Or leaving a great inheritance. No, that's not it either. The greatest thing that you can do for a child is to get that child wisdom. So let's read the verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is what? Wisdom is supreme. It's the top of the list. There's nothing superior to wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. The New Living Translation says that this way, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. There is nothing you can do more important than getting your child wisdom. And the King James Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom rules. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Father, there is nothing you can do more for your child than get your child wisdom. There's no gift you can give them that is more important than give them wisdom. If you're capable of teaching them wisdom, getting them wisdom, then you will love your child. If you're capable of teaching them wisdom, then you will spend time with your child. If you're capable of teaching your child wisdom, your child will come to salvation. Father, if you're capable of teaching your child wisdom, you will leave them an inheritance. So that's what's now it's our duty. We saw this last time, that it's a father's duty. It's primarily a father's duty to make sure that a godly generation continues on. And the way that we are seeing that the scriptures are teaching us this is it's the father's responsibility to teach that child wisdom. If that child gets wisdom, then the godly heritage will lead on. And so what we're doing is we're looking at 10 wisdoms. The way we're going to do this is go through the book of Proverbs, at least some of it, and we're going to pull out of there 10 mighty wisdoms that, Father, if you teach your child these 10 wisdoms and they conduct their lives with this, they'll make you happy. You won't have a sad heart. You'll have a glad heart. They'll make their mother happy. They won't break their mother's heart. They'll bless their mother, and they'll take care of you and her when they're old. And you're gray. And if you do that, then they're going to be a blessing to society, not a leech on society. If you do that, they're going to raise a generation of grandchildren and great-grandchildren for you that you're going to be happy with and pleased with. But mostly of all, they'll have the blessings of God endlessly upon their life. What father does not want that? So if you'll do these 10 wisdoms, then you're going to have that kind of a children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and on for 3-4 generations. So that's what we're talking about. So the first one we got last week, who remembers what the first wisdom was that we have to teach our children? To fear the Lord. Why? Because it's the beginning. It's where it all starts, right? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools do what? Despise wisdom and discipline. I hope there is nobody in here that's despising what we're doing right here and we're studying. Because I don't want you to be a fool. I want you to want this stuff and understand this stuff and be able to give this stuff to your children. But it begins with wisdom. Proverbs begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's where it starts. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Every wise person fears the Lord. If you do not fear the Lord, you are a fool. You do not understand wisdom. You may be intelligent, but you are not wise. The way we look at this is it's a thermometer. You can judge, you can grade your temperature in wisdom by how much you fear the Lord. You can grade the wisdom of your children by how much your children fear the Lord. You can grade and judge and run a gauge on your friends and your acquaintances and your companions by how much they fear the Lord. If they don't fear the Lord, get away from them because they're going to steer you wrong and you're going to mess up in life. The way we saw that a father is to teach his child wisdom is by being wise himself, by fearing the Lord himself. If you do not fear the Lord, see, Dad, you're Superman. You're Superman to those kids. They think you can do anything. And you're Superman. And if they don't see you fear the Lord, they're not going to fear the Lord. How do you teach a child to fear the Lord? We don't tremble and shake and go in terror because his name's mentioned. You do things that people who fear the Lord do. Right? Do you worship regularly? Is your life a worship to the Lord? Do you frequent the house of God and worship? Do you enter into worship? Do you enter into praise? Do you enter into giving your finances to the Lord? Do you enter into taking care of your money the way people who fear the Lord takes care of their money? Do you talk about the Scriptures and the things of God to your children? And that's what we do when we fear the Lord. Do they observe you doing that? Right? So we got the first thing is to teach your child to fear the Lord. It begins there. That's the beginning point. What would be the second one? What would be the second thing that would be very, very high on the list of wisdoms that I need to teach my child? I need to teach my child the wisdom of guarding their mind and their heart. If this is, to me, the second one that we've got to be able to instruct our children in. Number two, teach your children to guard their mind and heart. Proverbs 12:8. A man is praised according to what? His wisdom. But men with warped minds are despised. Without wisdom, your child will be warped. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I love how the King James puts that. King James says, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. Father, you will have issues with your son if you do not teach them wisdom. Your son will have issues, or your daughter will have issues all of their life. You will have issues, they will have issues, and you've got to take care of issues that you would not have to take care of if you had instructed them in wisdom. This is the primary thought that we've got to understand. It is, you've got a moment of time. You've got from this big to this tall to maybe get wisdom into them. It's much more easier to teach them wisdom at this size than at this size. You're going to have problems and issues at this size. You need to get it here while you got an opportunity. Let me talk to you a minute about mind and heart, the difference here of what that is. Your mind is your consciousness. We've done series and studies on this. Your mind is your consciousness, and your heart is your subconsciousness. If you look at it like this, a ship that's going through the ocean and it's cutting through, it's sort of superficial, but it's still down in there, but it's cutting through. But then you've got the submarine that goes down deep. The heart is the submarine. And when issues get into that submarine, into that subconsciousness, you got problems. When issues get down there, you got some serious problems you got to deal with. Don't let it get into the subconscious. Jesus said it this way. He said, it's not what goes into you that defiles you. It's what? What comes out. Out of what? Out of the heart that defiles a person. Evil thoughts, he says, comes out of the heart. Murders come out of the heart. Adultery comes out of the heart. Immorality, sexual immorality comes out of the heart, he said. Lying comes out of the heart. Thievery comes out of the heart. He says, these are the things that defile somebody, that make somebody nasty and dirty. These are the things that come out of the heart. So what? And these warp people, these are the things that warp the mind. So what are some things that warp our minds? Let's list a couple. Let's list a couple. I'd get some from you, but I just really need to get done because it's going to be a little long anyway. But what are some things that warp people's minds? How about this one? How about music and lyrics? Do you think some of that music that your child listens to could possibly warp their mind? I listen to some of this mess. I'm telling you, profanities. My goodness, talking about committing suicide, talking about murdering people, killing people, talking about immorality. Using all those words. Listen, that's going into the mind. And if it gets into the submarine, to the subconsciousness, you got issues. You got issues. No way around. It was so funny. I was talking to Judy about it. Friday morning, I came in, and I had this song in my head, and I couldn't get it out. And it's that stupid commercial that's on television now. Run, you chicken fat, run. Oh, I hate it. I could not get it out. Now, I'm not going to allow it to warp me. It's not going to get down into my subconsciousness. But just to show you, and we've all experienced it, haven't we? We get a tune in our head, and we can't get it out. Well, this is what happens with this music and these lyrics that will warp your child. What about cussing and profanities and corrupt language? Will that warp and corrupt somebody? Will that get down into that subconsciousness? Yeah. It will. I'll talk more about that in a little while. What about magazines and books and pictures that we see in magazines? And will that warp somebody? You know? See, when I was a kid, what me and my buddies would do, we'd go running around their daddy's places and my daddy's places, and we'd find pornography magazines that they had stowed away. Do you think that affected us? Yeah. Warps your mind. Now they just get on the computers, you know. And speaking of computers, what about these violent computer games? I'm not talking about all computer games, just these violent ones, where they're blowing people's heads off and blood is splattered everywhere, and this is how many you can kill. You think that warps anybody? Do you, Odell, but you're just old-fashioned. Really, you think so? Well, do you think there's any link at all since these violent video games have come out that there's any link at all between these kids going into schools with these automatic weapons and just seeing how many they can kill? Blood doesn't bother them, but just blow it everywhere. Do you think there's any warped people there? How about companions? Not acquaintances so much, and I'll differentiate that shortly. But how about companions? People that your child spends time with. They've become their friends. Can they warp your child? Can your child warp Theo? Yeah. Pornography? We've already mentioned that. Yes, it'll warp you. How about drugs and addictions and alcohol? And will that alter the mind and alter the thinking and warp the thinking? See, your child is being bombarded with this stuff every day of his or her life. Every day. Just like we are. Can't watch television without getting it. Can't listen to music without getting it. Can't go to the movies without getting it. Can't go to school without getting it. Their buddies are doing this. They're warping them. And if we don't teach them the wisdom of guarding that mind and that heart, we're going to have issues. Issues. And if issues get down into the heart, they're really, really good. Or they're really, really bad. And it's way, way better. Way, way better to do it when they're this big than this when they're this big. You can't make them do it when they're this big. You can really help them when they're children. You need to teach your children wisdom. Number one, you got to teach them to fear the Lord. Number two, you got to teach them wisdom. The wisdom of guarding that heart and guarding that mind. What's the third one? What do you think the third one would be? What's a good third one? Okay. You're right. Now listen, the way I wrote it in your notes, it's discipline your child. Discipline your child. I wished I had said it differently in your notes. It's give your child the wisdom of discipline. The wisdom of discipline. There's wisdom in discipline. Let me attempt to share this with you. You just don't go beating on your child and call it discipline. Proverbs 3:11. My son, do not hate the Lord's discipline. Don't hate being disciplined. There's a wisdom in discipline. Don't hate the Lord's discipline. Don't despise it. And do not resent his rebuke. Why? That just seems so contrary. It's not any fun. Why shouldn't I despise it? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He doesn't do it in anger. He doesn't discipline us in anger. He doesn't rebuke us because he's mad at us. He disciplines us because he loves us. As a father, the son he delights in. Don't despise discipline in your children. Now you don't love doing it either, but you don't despise it. Okay? And this is so important. And you, when you discipline your children, it just shows you love them if you do it correctly. And I want to try to help us here just a little bit. Because the purpose of discipline is to drive out foolishness and folly and bad stuff so that wisdom and judgment can come in. Here's what it says, Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, every child, any child. Yours is no different than any other. There's folly and foolishness in there. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod, this is talking about physical discipline, the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. So that's what it's for. The discipline is to, not because you're mad, you're not venting your anger on your child, you're training your child, you're driving out the folly and the foolishness. Proverbs 10:13, wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning. Now watch this. This is character aspects here. The lips of the discerning. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. It's to drive out the foolishness so that judgment can come in and they can make good decisions in the future. And stop making the bad decisions like the one you're having to discipline them for. And you never, never, never discipline your child in anger. You hurt them. Now that can turn into abuse. You don't do it when you're angry. Go sit down, cool down, then set the child down and explain to the child why we're going through this process. Proverbs 5:23. He will die. Now watch this. He will die for lack of discipline. Now that's totally opposite of what society tells us, isn't it? He will die for the lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. By what? His own great folly. Okay, now let's work here just a second. Take that down just a second. Let me talk a moment. Have you ever heard, or maybe you've even said, you know, I got a good child, I just got around the wrong crowd. No. What does it say? Their own great folly. Right? Now, this is why we go back there where we're talking about guarding the mind and the heart. But it's at this particular time that these two link together that you see this. They've got a guard who their acquaintances are, and we're going to be talking about that shortly, who their companions are, we're going to be talking about. But it's their own great folly. They got themselves into trouble. They if you had wisdom in it, they wouldn't be with this person or those people. So it's their own great folly that got them in a mess. So this is what you got to do. You got to work with them on this stuff. Proverbs 23:13 says this. Do not withhold discipline from a child. Do not, command. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Now that's again opposite of what society tells us. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. Now what happens is in society is they warped us parents thinking that we're abusing our child if we punish them. You're not. You're abusing your child if you don't punish them. Right? See, society tells us we're abusing them. You're not abusing the child. Not if you do it right, not if you do it in love. And you see it as you're teaching them wisdom and you're driving out foolishness and folly from their lives so that they can have good judgment, so that they can have intelligence in their lives. This is the greatest thing that you can give to your children. Father, this is wisdom. And you can't give them wisdom without discipline. This was years ago. Jack is our oldest grandson. He's about 6'2 now or something like that. He's not even 16 yet, you know. But back then, he was about 3, so it was about 12 years ago. He was about that big, you know. And he and Bonnie and Max were at the house hanging out with us. And Jack kept going over and pushing buttons on electronics and things. And Bonnie said, "Stop, Jack." Well, he'd stop for a moment, then he'd go back and push buttons. And she said, "If you do it again, I'll spank you." Well, he did it again. Now, she didn't jump up and yell and scream at Jack and run over there and snatch him up. She just got up. I didn't know what she was doing. She got up and walked over there to him, picked him up, and rewarded him for what he had done and set him back down. He cried, broke his heart more than it hurt him. But he cried, and so she set him down. She stood up, and he turned around, and he reached up for his mama. He reached up for her to hold him. Here's my point. Listen, we think discipline drives our children away from us. When God disciplines you, does it drive you away from God? No, because you know he loves you. And when your child knows you love them and you discipline them, it will not drive your child away from you. You are not your child's buddy. You are your child's father and parent. And what we got to do is understand there's a wisdom in discipline. And your child needs to understand, listen, I'm doing this so you won't do this again. And we teach and instruct our child in wisdom, and we give them wisdom. That's so great. Listen, there is no hear how I'm saying this. There is no excuse for an undisciplined child. I didn't say rebellious child. Every child will rebel. Right? But every child should be disciplined. There is no excuse. If a child is not disciplined, it's not their fault. right. Okay. All right, let's go. Number one, teach your children the wisdom of fearing the Lord. Number two, teach your child the wisdom of guarding their mind and their heart. Number three, teach your child the wisdom of discipline. Number four, what's number four? Teach your child the wisdom of selecting companions. Not acquaintances, opinions. And I'm going to differentiate between the two. And on your notes, I wrote the wrong word here. Number four, teach your children proper selection of companions. Then I wrote, people remain at the level of their acquaintances. That shouldn't be acquaintances, that should be companions. Okay? Acquaintances have an effect on our lives, but they don't determine how high we go. Your companions do. Few of us ever reach higher than the level of the people we run with, the level of the companions that we're with. All right, I'll read you this proverb. Proverb 1 verse 10 says this: my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, come join up with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us. Come do what we do. Come along with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, my child, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. Right. Now, that's the image of a gang, right? Now, we don't like to think about it, of our children being in a gang. But they are. See, this is just a bad gang. This is a violent gang that we're reading about here. But your child is a part of a gang. Good gang, bad gang, but it's part of a gang. And this gang is going to influence them. Right. Now, here's the thing that this proverb is teaching us in wisdom. Teach your child the wisdom of selecting their companions and not allowing their companions to select them. Did you get that? Teach your child, don't allow companions and people to select them to go and you go with them. You select companions and let them go with you. As long as your child has wisdom and is leading the way, they won't go down the dark paths. They'll go in the straighter way. But if they go with the peer pressure and the gang groups, there's going to be so much peer pressure put on them. If they do drugs, your child's going to do drugs. They smoke dope, your child's going to smoke dope. Oh, I know there's nothing wrong with it, but they will. If they go with alcohol, they're going to do alcohol. If they go rob a bank, they're going to rob a bank. If they're going to go to prison, your child's going to go to prison. So this is the thought that we're really talking about here. This is the thing. Teach your child that they want to be the leader. Now this is so vitally, vitally important. My wife was just amazing here. She has such discernment on this deal about the companion thing. More than once. And I learned really fast to listen to her. She would say, there's something about this child I don't want my child with, around. I don't want it. And we'd figure it out. And then we would tell the child, our child, listen, we don't do this. I have seen her. She did it. Lance went off on a date, and he came home, and she went into the bedroom, and she told Lance what he had done, what happened on this with this date, and he said, how'd you know that? It was there's a discernment that God's going to give a parent to help this child. And I've heard her say, I don't want you around this person. Now, it's not that they can't be an acquaintance, because our children was raised in a youth group, a big youth group. And they did all this stuff together. But even in this youth group, there were specific children. We didn't want our children to become companions with. They were associated with them. They were acquaintances of them. But we did not want them spending quality time with the child. Especially when it becomes like boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend thing, because now you got emotions all stirred up in here. Now you really, and the sooner you deal with that, the easier it's going to be to deal with. It's still going to be tough. We were so serious about this. I was willing to leave this town for our children because we did not want them around certain specific people. If it cost me my job, my children were not going to hang with this person. That's how serious you got to be with it, parent. And when your child realizes that you're that serious, and it's such a priority in your life, it will become a priority in their life. And so what we would do is we'd set them down and we would say why we didn't want them to be with this child. Why they would. And you know what? Every time they knew. They knew before we knew. They knew that this child was not good to be around before we told them this child was not good. And yeah, they would puff up a little bit, but they knew better than back talk us. And they would say some things and they didn't like it. But because it was such a priority to us and that we were so serious about it, it became a priority and serious to them. Listen, if your children don't think you don't care who they run with, who's their companions, then they won't care. And they're going to end up with some dark paths going down some dark paths, right? Now, I just want to read this to you. Proverbs 2:12. Watch now. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked people, wicked men. What does? Wisdom. If your child does not have wisdom, they're going to get around wicked people. They're going to go wicked ways. Going on. Now, you got to have this wisdom if you're going to avoid and stay away from men whose words are perverse. You got to have this wisdom if they're going to avoid and stay away from those who leave the straight paths and walk the dark ways. They've got to have wisdom if they're going to avoid and stay away from those who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. They've got to have wisdom if they're going to avoid and stay away from those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. They've got to have wisdom, Dad. And Mom, you got to help. You're the helpmeet. And we, you know, this is so important that we understand. Now, this next one I'm going to read to you is we hear it a lot, but we never quite understand it. And I want to help you because if you look at it in this context that we're talking about here, it'll make sense to you. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions, not acquaintances, but a person of many companions may come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What does that mean? If your child is all into popularity and goes off with this gang 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 just because they want to be popular and hang out with all these people, they are going to be going the way of ruin eventually. One of these gangs are going to do drugs. One of these gangs are going to rob a bank. One of these gangs are going down dark ways. And if your child is with that gang, they will be ruined. But if your child is selective in their companions, and they select a friend that will stick closer than a brother, they're going to be all right. Teach your child the wisdom of being selective in their companions. Be the leader. This is one thing that I think that I've done most of my life. People that have been my friends, who I've selected and allowed to be my friends, have gone up in life. I don't know of a one that went down that was really my friend. See, when you're the leader, you choose the path, you go. Teach your child the wisdom of selecting their acquaintances, or not their acquaintances, but their companions. Okay, that's number four. What's number five? Number five is teach your child to control the wisdom of controlling their body. Wow. All right, now, just because your child is little, I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that, don't think they don't have passions and stuff going on inside, sensualities, and they're just little sensualities, but they're there, and you need to be wise, especially in the promiscuous society in which we live. They are bombarded on television, they are bombarded at the movies, they are bombarded at school. You know, I don't need to say it, okay. But they're going to get it everywhere they go, and they're going to be hit with this stuff. And so realize it's stirring them up. They're getting darts and things shot at them all the time in this way to stir up their passions and to get them thinking along dirty lines, you know, dirty ways. So I want to read this, the proverb to you. 7:22. Yeah. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Now, what it's talking about here is a guy following a prostitute. Okay? He's all messed up. He's following after her. To the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, and like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing, here it is, little knowing It looks okay. It looks fun. Little knowing it will cost him his life. I have a very close friend who made a promiscuous decision years back. I'm talking about decades back. And he worked through it and is doing good now. But I was doing a series on home and family. And I called him and I asked him if I could use his story. Not his name, but his story. And he said, yeah, sure you can. And I said, for the series itself, I said, would you do it again? He used this four-letter exclamatory, and no. And then he said, he quoted the scripture to me. He quoted it right down the line, and then he said, I was like an ox being led to the slaughter until the arrow pierced my liver. And it cost me everything. He said, know what it says? It will cost you your life. He said, it cost me my life. And he's alive. But what it cost him was his marriage. It cost him his children. It didn't come out good because dad, there's this situation going on. It cost him his occupation. It cost him his reputation. It cost him the respect that he had worked so hard and so many years to acquire. It cost him all of his money. Everything. He said, Delbert, it cost me everything. It cost me my life. Father, teach your child that when you become promiscuous, eventually it's going to get you. When you don't have right areas of morality and you don't control your body will control you. And when you go that way, it's like getting shot in the liver with an arrow. It will cost you everything. It'll cost you your marriage. It'll cost you your children, your family. It'll cost you everything. Teach your child to control their family. Number one, teach your children the wisdom of fearing the Lord. Number two, teach your children the wisdom of guarding their mind and guarding their heart. Number three, teach your child the wisdom of discipline. Teach your child, number four, the wisdom of selecting their companions. Number five, make sure you teach your child to control their body and not let their body control them. Number six, what is number six? It goes along with number five. Number six is, teach your child the wisdom of marriage, but enjoying your spouse. A spouse is to be enjoyed. let me work here a little bit without getting too far out there. But this is. Let me read it to you in the Bible, and then it may make it easier for me. Number six, okay. Proverbs 5:18. May your fountain be blessed. Now, what this is really is a statement of sensuality. It's a statement of a male's sensuality, a man's sensuality. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice, woohoo, whoopee, may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. What we do in marriage, and it makes it fun, is that you allow yourself to be captivated by your spouse. And it's fun, and you don't do anything weird in front of the kids, but you hug and you kiss and you hold hands and you show affection and you show that you really enjoy being with each other, and it's fun. Woohoo! And they know what's going on behind that door. They're not dumb. But what I want you to understand is that it should be presented to your children as rejoicing, not as something bad. You got to do, this is, make it, this, it should be fun. All right, let's leave that and go into the next thought. Here's the deal, Dad. And the way you teach your children to rejoice in their spouse is show them how much you adore your spouse. You teach your son how to treat his wife by how you treat his mother. Got that? See, I'm always amazed at my son and how he treats his wife. It fascinates me. He treats her like a gem. I mean, and she is a gem, but he treats her good. And anyway, I poke my chest out because I know he got some of that from me. I know he at least got some of that from me. Maybe not all of it, but he got some of it. And they hold hands. They do what they saw us do as children. And the way you teach your daughter to wait for the person to give herself to at the proper time, the way you do that is by how you treat her mother. One of the most sad things that we see in ministry is a narcissistic, mean, manipulative dad who wants to dominate everything and control everything, and how he's mean to his wife and controlling and manipulative and all this stuff. And watching her, the daughter, grow up and marrying somebody like her daddy, some narcissistic, mean, controlling boy, it hardly ever works out well. It's one of the saddest things. And then a lot of times a son who's raised with a narcissistic, controlling, mean, manipulative father, he turns out to be the very same thing. And they're going through marriage after marriage after marriage after marriage. And just like Exodus said, and we talked about it last time, the sins are punished upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. It takes three or four generations to root that out. And it goes on and on and on. So that's number six. Right? That's number six. Oh, it's number seven. Number seven is teach your child to guard or watch their words. Guard or watch their words. This is so important that they have this kind of a wisdom. That they learn how to watch their words. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Put away perversity from your mouth and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. What does that mean? What do you think that means? My dad did not do well with me here. My dad, by the time I was born, come out of my mama's womb, I'm sure I had heard every four-letter profanity and cuss word that is known to mankind. He was one of the tenderest, loving, gentle people that you would ever want to know. But he was extremely efficient at four-letter profanities. He could do it. And so when I had a child, what do you think I did? I taught my child how to cuss. Now I want to work on here just a minute. I don't want you to think he does it now. He doesn't. But he was 3 years old, something like that. And he'd watch me work on cars and get mad and beat on the car and cuss the car. He had, what was it, a tricycle or was it his little truck? Yeah, he was working on it. He was cussing that thing. He was beating that truck. Where'd he get that from? And it breaks your heart. You see, I didn't bring it out a while ago, and I should have, but when we're talking about guarding the mind and the heart, see, what Jesus says, it's not what goes into the man that defiles the man. It's what comes out of the man. Or did I say that? I did say that, didn't I? And, see, and that's how I feel. When this stuff erupts out of me, I feel so nasty, so dirty. I feel so defiled. I feel like a hypocrite. I look around and see if anybody possibly heard me. You know, I don't want that. I'm rooting on that. I want that out of me. The next series that we're going to be doing is cussing Christians. Because I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with, right? So, but anyway, I have overcome my casual cussing. I'm not a casual cusser. No, what that means is you have a vocabulary that you just use all the time. And this stuff is just a part of how you communicate and how you talk. You know, I don't do that. That's never in my mind. I go and find a better word. I got a big enough vocabulary that I can find a smarter, intelligent, more intelligent word. See, we get word lazy. We get lazy and won't go look for another word. We just use this four-letter one because we can't find a five-letter or a six-letter one. So I don't do that. That's not what I do. But casual, and I know that's not a word, casual cussing, still there. Now, what casual cussing is when frustrations and anger gets in your emotions explode, and this stuff comes out. And I hate it. I despise it. See, that's the thing about my life that I dislike probably more than anything else about me, is I dislike when that stuff happens. How in the world do you stop doing it? How in the world do you stop and don't teach your child to do it? How do you teach them not the wisdom of using their words correctly? How do you do that? Well, first of all, Dad, you've got to use your words correctly. You know, you can't cuss. You say, well, I don't cuss around the kids. Eventually, you're going to get frustrated. Eventually, you're going to get angry, and it's going to come out. It's going to happen. And it may mean that you have to get up and turn the stations on the television or do something or get up out and walk out of a movie or something. You know, that you're going to have to do something and express the dissatisfaction that you have when these things are used. You got to let them know this isn't good. This isn't right. This isn't the way you should use words and language. And you got to do this. We were watching the Country Music Awards. It was already bad. It was a horrible country music award show. But then these wannabes have to come out there and use four-letter words and explanatory ways to express themselves. And I'm thinking, you need to go back to school. You need to get a vocabulary. If that's the best you can talk about in public, come on. That's the first thing you got to do is first of all, not do it. Secondly of all, express your dissatisfaction when it is done and around you and it's heard. But probably the most viable thing that I think I can maybe share with you is if you could teach your child the wisdom of it. See, I look back at all my buddies in school and back yonder all those years ago, and the ones that I respect the most are the ones who chose not to cuss. Nearly all of us, maybe, but one or two, cussed. It was just cool. You know, we were big dogs, you know. We made us men, machos. But they said, I don't want to do that. And I look back at them now, and they're the ones I respect. So, Dad, what you got to do is say, listen, if you really want to be respected, if you really want your people that you run with and your companions to really respect you when you're older, then you've got to learn how to not do this. You've got to not get that inside of you. Because once it gets into the mind, and they're going to get it in their mind, their buddies do it, this television does it, the stars do it, all the celebrities do it. Well, it must be right. No, it's not right. And if it gets down into the heart, into the subconsciousness, they're going to have issues with it. So teach your child that. So that's number seven. Number eight, real quickly. Teach your child to work and not be lazy. Teach your child to work and not be lazy. Give them chores to do. Give them things to do. Yeah, and benefit them, bless them, give them an allowance, sure. But the main thing that you're after here is teach them to be self-motivated. See, let's read the proverb. Okay, Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Now, okay, wise. Here's that word again. Wise. You're not wise because you work. A lot of people work that are dumb as dirt when it comes to wisdom. You teach your child to work so that they can store up provisions because they're self-motivated. Watch. Start over. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. What does that mean? It means it's self-motivated. Yet it stores its provisions. That's what makes a person wise, is that they don't blow everything that they work to get. They have provisions. They store it up. This is what he's trying to say here to us. Yet he stores it's his provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, a little entitlement here, a little entitlement there, a little entitlement there. I don't have to work. I can just lay around. Here's what happens. And poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Teach your child to be self-motivated. Anybody will work if they got somebody standing over them with a whip. You watch these guys that are in jail and they're out weed eating and cutting grass or whatever, and there's a guy standing there with a shotgun. Anybody will cut grass. You're standing there pointing a shotgun at them, right? But had they worked before they were arrested, they wouldn't have the shotgun pointed at them. Teach your child to be self-motivated, but not just to work every day. You can be a workaholic and not have any provisions. Teach your child to store some stuff up for wintertime, when times are tough and there's always a little bit of excess there. Have you ever dug into an ant mound? Huh? Yeah, there's a lot of ants in there, but maybe looked at them in a glass. But see, there's all this food that is stored in there. They got a lot of food in there. This is the thought. They store it up. They harvest it when it's time, when they can, for the provisions. All right, that's number eight. Number nine. Teach your child, and it goes right along with it, to manage money. Teach your child to manage the money. Let's read the proverb. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And let's stop there. Okay. When we give into the kingdom of God, we are honoring the Lord. If we exclude the Lord from our wealth, from our finances, we are not honoring the Lord. But what I want to point out here is that this proverb is going to bring out two realities. First of all, there is the 10%. We're about to read about it, the first fruits. But then there's also the 90%. And it's concerned about what? Both. It's concerned about the 90%. How do you honor the Lord with the 90%? And how do you honor the Lord with the 10%? Honor the Lord with your wealth. And it goes on, it says, with the first fruits, that's the tithe, what you give unto the Lord, of all your crops, then your barns will be filled with overflowing. And your vats will brim over with new wine. Then, teach your children the wisdom of honoring the Lord with their wealth, all their wealth, not only the 10%. Now that's big and that's important. We honor the Lord with our giving. That's the way we do it. We did this young with our children. They were just little. They have a little allowance, maybe $2 or something like that. And then we would tell them, 20% of that is going to the Lord. And here's what I want you to do. I just don't want you to throw in 2 dimes or 4 nickels or something like that Sunday. I want you to go in. I want you to get an envelope. And I want you to write down your name on there. Put down your 20 cents or whatever that you're giving. And I want you to write it on there. Daddy, they don't want me to do that. I don't want to waste an envelope. It's not wasting an envelope. You're honoring the Lord. Listen, this is an event. This is an issue of honor. And you make it big. They made a big, big deal of it when they brought a sacrifice to the Lord. It's something how we honor God with. Don't just throw stuff in the plate just because it's coming by. Make an issue of the thing. Teach your children to honor God with that giving. Make an issue of it. But it doesn't stop there. What about the other 90%? How do you do with that? What's your credit rating? Do you fear answering the phone because it's going to be somebody you owe money? How do you pay your bills? Are you honoring the Lord with the other 90%? Forget the 10. What about the other? Are you honoring God with that? See, so many Christ followers don't do that. And they max out credit cards in debt and bondage. You're not teaching your child wisdom. Teach your child how to manage their money and honor the Lord. Number 10. It's number 10. Teach your child to love their neighbor. Love their neighbor. Now what this is basically teach your child not to be selfish. Let's read the proverb. Proverb 3:27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Let's stop there. who do we not withhold from? Those who deserve it. Right? Now this is interesting because there are people who will take advantage of you. If they know you got a dollar, they want your dollar. Right? So you got to have some discernment. You don't just go throwing your money, wasting your money out on everybody. But people, there are people who deserve it. And when it is in your power to act, don't withhold it when it's in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later. I'll give it to you tomorrow when you have it with you. Now, what is the lesson here is listen, do good for people who are trying to do good. Well, people that are really trying in life, you know, help them if you can. If God's blessed you, then you use your blessing to bless them. Of course, help your neighbors that lives next door to you. Surely do that. But there are other people. Our church has helped thousands and thousands of people. Not all of those deserved it. Most of those were trying to take advantage of us. But every once in a while, we get to help somebody who really deserves it. And it is such a blessing. Whenever you get an opportunity to help somebody, help them. Help them with what God has blessed you with. You bless them also. And God will turn around and bless you. When is the second? They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, strength and mind. He said, but there's another one that's real close to it. In fact, you can't really separate them. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, what we've got to understand is that if you don't teach your child how to not be selfish, they will be selfish. Right? Teach your child how to give and how to enjoy giving and the blessings that come behind giving. So, Father, it is your responsibility to teach your children wisdom and to maintain the godly lineage and to continue on a godly line. And if you will, you're going to have blessed children and you're going to be blessed. It's your responsibility, Father, to teach your child to fear the Lord. The wisdom of teaching your child to fear the Lord. That's what you got to do because that's where it begins. If there is no wisdom, if there is no fear of the Lord, there is no wisdom. And if you don't teach your child to fear the Lord, what the world's going to do, what society is going to do is teach them to hate the Lord. Teach your child to guard their mind and their heart. And if you don't, The world will teach them how to warp their mind and fill their heart with vulgarities and nonsense and wickedness and evil and go down dark paths. That's what the world will teach them if you don't. Teach your child the wisdom of discipline. Because if you don't teach your child the wisdom of discipline, what you're going to have are issues with your child all of their lives. They're going to come up and they're going to give you big issues that you're going to have to deal with. And what the world's going to teach them is how to be corrupt, how to get in trouble, how to go down the dark paths. If you don't do it, the world will. Teach your child how to make sure that they select their companions in life. Because if you don't, the companions in the world will select them. And they'll go with them. And they'll be a gang going the wrong ways. Teach your child how to control his or her body. That it is an important aspect of life. And if they don't, then the world's going to teach them how to use and waste their body. And how they're going to go through marriage after marriage after marriage after marriage. And promiscuity situation and promiscuity situation after promiscuity situation. Say that three times real fast. But that's what we do. Teach your child to rejoice in the spouse, to be captured by their love and by their affection, so that they will learn how to treat their spouse. And if you don't, the world and society is going to make sure they learn how to destroy a marriage. They'll learn how to divorce. They'll learn how to be wicked and treat their spouse mean. Teach your child how to guard their mouth and watch their words. It's so important, because if you don't, the society is going to teach them how to cuss, how to speak corruptly, how to curse people. Don't let your children curse people. Use the words they use to bless people and give life to situations. If you don't, the world's going to teach them how to curse people and use profanities. Teach your children how to work and not be lazy, to store up provisions for the future. If you don't, the world's going to teach them how to get in debt to their eyeballs and never, never be able to have any provisions. It goes along with the very next one, teach your child how to manage money. Because if you don't, the world's going to teach their child how to waste money and not honor God. Teach your child how to give and not be selfish. If you don't, the world's going to teach them it's all about them. It's all about me. Forget everybody else. And that includes their life, their family, their children. It's all about them. How are you doing? And if you'll do these 10 wisdoms with your children, you're going to have children that will bless your heart, make you glad, take care of you when you're old, not break their mother's heart, but bless her and take care of her when she's old, not be a leech on society, but be a blessing to society, that are going to raise you a generation of grandchildren and great-grandchildren who will bless your life.